Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll begin to look at the somewhat mysterious people group known as the Amish. You've certainly seen them if you've ever driven through to Lancaster, PA, and more recently you heard about the terrible school shooting in Nickel Mines, PA that left 5 Amish schoolgirls dead and 5 more hospitalized. And that was perhaps the saddest tragedy I ever heard, and one that made millions of people ask the same 3 questions. Why? Well, today I'm not going to try to make sense out of that horrific tragedy. I believe the Bible has answers, but some we just won't understand on this side of heaven. But today I want to begin an exciting interview with a former Amish man, Joe Keim. Joe is an expert when it comes to the Amish way of life and the Amish religion. Joe and his wife Esther were both raised in the Old Order Amish in Ashland, Ohio, and left the group and the religion as young adults. They currently reach out to the Amish community in their ministry called Mission to Amish People. You can find them at mapministry.org. If you've ever wondered why the Amish do what they do, if you've wondered what makes them tick, and most importantly, what they believe about God, Jesus, and eternal salvation, today is your day. Hey, welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Joe, where did the Amish people come from, and how long have they existed?
Well, the Amish started back in 1693. And they came about over a rift that came up between 2 leaders in the Mennonite church. And Jacob Ammon was about 30 years old at the time. And he had a problem with the excommunication and shunning that was going on at the time in the Mennonite church. And because of that, and foot washing was another reason. I believe maybe communion had part of it. They had communion once a year. He felt like they should have it twice a year. And because of these things, Jacob Ammon turned on the Mennonite leadership and excommunicated them. Later, the Mennonite leadership turned on him and his following and excommunicated them. And there was quite a bit of that going on right around 1693. And out of that, the Amish would then multiply and later move over to the America.
Okay. How many Amish are there now, and where are they geographically?
The Amish double in population about every 20 years. And right now there's 250,000 Amish people living in about 24 different states. And there's about 230 communities that make up these Amish groups in the 24 different states.
Okay. Here's a big question, probably one that everybody's thinking about. Why do the Amish separate themselves from the world and the modern conveniences?
Well, I would like to quote a scripture that is often quoted in the church, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He also says, "Blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek." Now, in the German scriptures, that reads, "Saved are the poor in spirit, saved are they that mourn." And so, they believe that they have to go through life in humility, in hard work. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And it's because of those scriptures that they believe they have to live a hard way of life in order to gain favor with God.
Hmm. Tell us about your ministry. When did it start, and why did you start it, and what is your purpose?
Well, the ministry started in 1987 when Esther and I first left the Amish. We immediately had a real burden to reach out to the Amish because we came to a point where we realized what the real, true salvation was about. But it wasn't until 1999 that the Lord clearly called me to go into full-time ministry. And it wasn't until 2 years after that that I actually plunged into the ministry full-time. That was in 2001. And the threefold purpose for the ministry is, number one, it is our desire to reach Amish and former Amish with the gospel. And then number two, it is to assist Amish people in transitioning to an American lifestyle. And number three, the third purpose would be to assist local churches in reaching out to their own communities wherever they are located at.
Great. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering what's going on, we are interviewing Joe Keim, a former Amish man. If you want to contact Joe, you can reach him by phone at 419-962-1515 or on the web at mapministry.org. Joe, a little bit about your testimony. How important was God in your life growing up?
Well, when I compare it to how my own children are at this time, there is really no comparison. I looked at God as this person sitting on the throne with a billy club in his hand, and every time I made a move, I thought for sure he was just waiting to whop me a good one. And I had a real fear of God. It was somebody that I didn't think you could get real close to, but I had this desire in my heart that when I die, that's where I would want to be, because obviously God is in heaven. So that's kind of how I felt about God. I looked at him as one who had to be feared and reverenced.
Okay, you mentioned heaven. How did you think you were going to make it to heaven, and what were you taught that God required of you?
Number one, I thought that I had to obey my parents. Number two, I believed that when I became the age of accountability, which in their eyes or in my community, it was at the age of 17, I would begin the process of becoming a member and later on would become baptized and then follow the rules. And I believe that if I did these three things, then God would allow me into heaven when I died.
Okay, if you did those three things, what assurance did you have of this? Any assurance at all?
Absolutely no assurance. To say that you have assurance of going to heaven is to be prideful or boasting. And they would often quote the scripture out of Luke 18 where the Pharisee and the publican went up to pray. And the Pharisee stood there and he said, "I thank thee that I am not like other men." And he talked about fasting twice a week and giving his tithes and all that he possessed. To the Amish, this was a man that felt like he was on his way to heaven. He was boasting, and obviously we know the rest of the story. And they always considered themselves as being on the side of the publican.
Okay. Did you read the Bible as an Amish young man, and is Bible study generally stressed in the religion?
We read very little of the Bible. First of all, it was in German, and it was a language that we learned how to read, pronounce out the words, but even after years of reading the Bible periodically, I still probably only knew about 10% of what I read. And Bible studies were strictly forbidden. You were not allowed to carry Bibles outside the home. We did have family circle Bible studies. I guess you could call it a Bible study every other Sunday, because every other Sunday we didn't go to church. And it was at those times that we would sit down and read the scriptures. But even then, even Dad and Mom knew very little about what scripture really taught.
If you're just tuning in, I am interviewing Joe Keim, a former Amish man. If you want to learn more about the Amish, you can contact Joe on his website at mapministry.org, M-A-P ministry, or if by phone at 419-962-1515. Joe, did you ever question the Amish religion as being true?
I never did until I turned about 16 or 17 years of age, and I think that's probably kind of common for a young teenager to come to a point in his life where you really sit down and you ask yourself, is what mom and dad and the church have always taught me really what God wants? And I went through that myself, and I guess I began to kind of question whether it was really true. And I had questions that really mom and dad were not able to answer. And most of them had to do with why we lived the way we did and why we did the things we did. And the answer was always, well, it's because of our forefathers did it this way. And we don't ask questions. We just do what we've been taught.
Wow. How did you view those outside the Amish religion, like a Baptist, a Protestant, or a Catholic? Could they be saved too?
That's a good question. You know, that hardly ever came up. But in my mind, and I believe in the mind of most Amish people, we kind of looked at it this way, Fran. We thought that every different denomination was just coming up on different sides of the mountain. But eventually, if they obeyed their parents and they obeyed the church, we would all meet up together at the top of the mountain.
Okay.
So you didn't really judge them. You didn't judge them. You just, you know, it's between them and God. But I have to be Amish because I was born Amish.
Right. So you have to be born Amish and die Amish to be saved.
Yes.
Right. So what happened to you to make you realize that the Amish religion, well, wasn't really true?
Probably the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I remember when the person that led me to the Lord pointed that scripture out, and it made sense for the very first time. And I realized that salvation was a gift that I could not possibly earn, but that it was a gift that had to be received. And when that sank in, I realized that the Amish religion was works, and it was contrary to the Word of God as far as a person getting to heaven.
How did you get saved?
I was 15 years old when an Amish man in my community came out with this new belief, and everybody turned him off, but I had this desire, even at that time already, to learn. I had curiosity in me that wanted to know really what he believed. And it would not be until 3 years later, when I was 18 years old, that this same man sat down with me and told me the gospel again, like he had so many other times. But on this day, it was different. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and as I listened to him, I said, "Are you telling me, Paul Koblenz, that if my Uncle Albert, who is a deacon in the Amish church, are you telling me that he will split hell wide open if he doesn't come to Christ?" And all of these things just really grabbed me. And on that day, all of a sudden, tears just came streaming down my face, and I realized that I was not good enough to get into heaven on my own and accepted Christ.
Amen, brother. How did your parents and community react to your new belief?
They obviously turned me off almost immediately because I was very open about it. And I had a man come to me one day, and he said, "Hey," and this was a very good friend of mine, he said, "Joe, just between you and me and the fence post," he said, "you can be totally honest with me. Did you really get saved? Is there really such a thing?" And I said, "Mose," his name was Mose Koblenz, I said, "Mose, I don't know how to explain it. I don't even know the scriptures, but I know that I had an encounter with Almighty God."
So how does, say, shunning affect an ostracized Amish man or woman?
When somebody goes against their religion or their beliefs, they will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about delivering one to Satan. And that's what they do. The church gets together and they deliver you over to Satan, and you become part of his family. And at that point, they stop eating with you. If you continue to stay Amish, you cannot eat at the same table. If they want to take something from you, you have to lay it down, they'll pick it up, and they just pretty much cut you off. It's a discipline, it's a way of disciplining you, and hopefully you will repent and come back.
Hmm, that's harsh. Great. Joe, what is the plan of salvation Amish style? Could you lay it out for us?
It's, in short, it is works salvation. Again, they believe that parental obedience is a part of one's salvation. And really, a child is considered to be under the authority of their parents until the child dies. Children are strongly disciplined, and they are informed at a young age that if they leave and go against their parents' will, there is no hope for them to ever make it to heaven. Number two, they believe getting baptized and joining the church is another part of salvation, or is a part of the salvation package. Number three, they believe in following the articles of faith as they were set forth by our forefathers, and of course, the rules that pertain to that church at the time. And number four, I don't want to leave this out, but it really comes at the bottom of the list. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, he was resurrected, and went to heaven. And we have to believe that. But again, it's a head knowledge. It's just a part of the package.
Okay, if you just joined us, I'm interviewing Joe Kime, a former Amish man. If you want to contact Joe, learn more about the Amish, you can get him on the web at mapministry.org, and you can get him by phone at area code 419-962-1515. Joe, you already kind of mentioned it, but do the Amish people believe in the fundamentals of the faith, like the deity of Christ, the Trinity, the resurrection, the second coming? Do they believe in all of that?
The Bible is so low on the list when it comes to pushing rules and doctrine, or their type of doctrine. And so with an eighth grade education, there is absolutely no training, and you hear almost nothing about the deity of Christ or the Trinity. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know what those things were until after I started going to the church that we've been members of now for 20 years. But, yeah, they do believe in the resurrection. They do believe in the second coming. They believe that the world will just end one day, and that will be the end of it. And those who are alive will go to heaven. Those who are alive and didn't live, go to church or live for God, those will go to hell.
And at what age does a person become a member of the Amish church, and what is the process you have to go through?
That varies a little bit between the different groups, but in my group, at the age of 17, all of us boys and girls began the process. It was a six-month training process that we had to go through. And in this six-month training process, they taught us the importance of living the rules and staying Amish if we want to go to heaven. At the end of the process, if we proved to them that we were serious, they would then have a baptismal service. And on this day, we repeated a phrase-by-phrase prayer after the preacher, saying that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then they poured water on our head. And I was told that on this day, all my sins were washed away. And I really sincerely believe that. But that's kind of the process. After you are baptized, then you become a member of that church.
Okay. You mentioned different groups. Are there different denominations in the Amish religion? And if so, what is the difference between them?
There are many, many, many different denominations. And some fellowship with each other and some don't. Probably the most conservative group would be the Schwarzentruber group. And then you have the Old Order, and then you have New Order, you have the Beachy and the Taupe, and the list goes on and on. The difference is probably in the length of their ordinance letter or their rule book. In my community, we had 22 pages of handwritten rules, where if you go to the Beachy Church, you have a much shorter list. They're more liberal. and they actually preached the gospel. And there's some other ones like the New Order, I believe. They're really preaching the gospel as well.
Fantastic. Are the Amish people saved? Why or why not?
Yes, I believe there are some Amish people that are saved, and particularly the more liberal churches, although they still hang on to a lot of traditions. And it's very hard to say, but from the old order, the Schwarzentruppe, and some of the more legalistic groups, I just don't see very many people being saved. If they are, they definitely do not talk about it.
Right, right. Describe a typical Amish church service for us.
A church service starts at 9 a.m. in the morning and is over with by 12:30. You will have two sermons that are preached that day, and those sermons are preached without a Bible, without an outline. They're just men who have an eighth grade education, absolutely no training, pastoral training of any sort. And then there's some singing as well. And that's pretty much it's all done in German. Everything, they know three languages. They know English, Dutch, and German. All of their spiritual books, like the hymn book, the prayer book, and the Bible, are written in the Martin Luther translation, which is a high German.
How long do the services usually last?
Roughly 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours.
And twice a year they have an all-day service that lasts from 9 a.m. until sometimes 6, 7 at night.
Huh. So how does a man end up in a preacher position?
They have four positions. They have the bishop, the deacon, and two lay ministers. When one of these passes away or moves out of the community, it is filled from another man in the membership. And the way they do is they cast their votes, and any man who gets three or more votes is put in a lot. And let's just say, for the sake of illustration, they bring these men out. Let's say there's six men that got three or more votes. They're placed on a bench, and each one of them is given a songbook, and in one of these songbooks is a piece of paper. And whoever received this is then going to fill that position. And Fran, it is like a funeral. The man that is becomes the preacher that day just starts crying, and so does the whole church, because it's not an easy place to be in.
Wow. So the bishops or the lay ministers, they have no biblical education or pastoral training at all?
None.
None.
And they're not allowed any kind of dictionaries, commentaries, or anything like that, other than their articles of faith and a couple other little German books like the Martyr's Mirror and things like that.
That's a hard way to go. If you just tuned in, I am interviewing Joe Keim from Mission to Amish People. Joe is a former Amish man. If you want to know more about Joe's ministry, you can contact him by phone at area code 419-962-1515, or on the web at www.mapministry.org. What are the sermons about in the Amish church, and again, who preaches them?
Well, you have the ones that are filling the positions of either bishop or lay ministers. The deacon never preaches, but some of the things that he might have in the sermon are Old Testament stories, probably mostly Old Testament examples, some New Testament scriptures like Romans chapter 12, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world," or 1 John chapter 2, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world." And then there's many, many stories that have been told for years and years about those who have left the Amish and there was no hope for them, and there's all kinds of stories I wouldn't even have time to get into, but they're scary stories.
Okay. So there's no, like, verse-by-verse exegesis of the scriptures?
No.
No. Okay. Other than disobedience to the Ten Commandments, what is considered a sin in the Amish religion?
Here's some of the main ones. We have divorce, or women cutting their hair or going without a head covering. Birth control is considered a sin. Jewelry. Going to war. My own dad went to prison for over a year because he refused to be drafted or go to war. They do not believe in getting involved in any political or government activity. And then obviously, anyone who goes against the traditions of the forefathers is considered to be living in sin.
Joe, what is the, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, but the Ordnung, or the ordinance letter, what is that about?
It's sort of an Amish word, I guess, Ordnung. It is a, in my case, we had a 22-page letter that was handwritten, and it had all the rules on it that governed their clothing, their home, their work habits and lifestyles. Everything was handwritten. And twice a year they would read this off and remind the people of the importance of living the rules.
So it's very legalistic.
Very. It would remind you of the Old Testament law, very much so.
Hmm. So what kind of issues is an Amish person who leaves the religion and the community faced with?
When you leave the Amish community, you leave your family and your friends. In most cases. And then obviously when you do leave, you have to learn a brand new culture that you might have thought you knew, but you really didn't. It would be kind of the same way as if you decided to go Amish and you woke up one morning and there were no light switches, there were no cars to get into, no electric, and so it's, those are some of the things they would be faced with. Another thing is vulnerability. They're very vulnerable when they leave. They trust everybody, and then people take advantage of them, and so that's a tough one.
How does your ministry help these people?
We have quite a few different ways that we're trying to help. One of them is a Tuesday night support group. We've actually established several support groups, and the other one is a donation center where we keep, it's sort of like a goodwill. Churches donate clothing, and then when the Amish leave, we take them there and take them through, and they can pick out whatever they want. The ministry also provides basic life skills, such as driving lessons and social security cards and employment, help them fill out their employment applications, GEDs, job interviews, and then also some counseling.
If you just joined us, I am interviewing Joe Keim, a former Amish man. If you want to contact Joe by phone, his area code is 419, and the phone number is 962-1515, or on the web at mapministry.org. Joe, why do many ex-Amish people, once they leave, they reject all religion?
They have gotten, probably because they have gotten so fed up with being told how to do things and how to live that they just don't want any part of anything anymore. And so many of them go completely the other direction.
So many get involved, I heard, in drugs and alcohol even?
Yes, pretty much so.
That's sad. What is the most important thing that you would share with an Amish person?
If I was, anytime I have an opportunity to share anything with an Amish person, it's simply asking questions. You see, they've been taught to live a certain way, and they rely on what they've been taught, and they never question, they just don't question it. They're not allowed to. But when you ask them questions, it makes them think.
Right, that's what I train even people to do when they talk to Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. That's an excellent way to witness.
Mm-hmm.
By talking about witnessing, how do we witness to them? Can we just kind of go up to them and hand them a tract and share the gospel like anybody else on the street? Or is there a list of do's and don'ts that you would recommend?
Yeah, it's not evangelism is more of a process than an event, and That's one thing I've learned myself. It normally, when you hand out pamphlets, they'll just throw them away because they don't want no part of it, and they're told by the taught by the church not to have read anything outside of their own books and information. But I always tell people, go where they are. Don't wait for the fish to come to you. And crisis times are God's times. Nothing gets their attention like bargains. They are always hunting for bargains, and if you have a bargain, you will get their attention. Number two, gain their trust and respect. You know, bake them a pie. We're used to eating their pies, but this time it's our turn to bake them a pie. Number three, ask questions that will make them think. For instance, a good question to ask is, how does an Amish man get to heaven? And then, you know, sad as this may sound, get them to question their belief.
That's right. That's what we have to do. Has your ministry led anybody to Christ?
We have led many, many people to Christ through our Bible studies, correspondence that we send out to Amish homes. We have over 8,500 students, and there's hardly ever a week that goes by we don't get a real clear testimony of salvation back. And we actually had one of the students, a couple of the students that were killed in Pennsylvania were some of our top students in the Sunlight Club.
Wow. If you just joined us, I am interviewing former Amish man Joe Keim. If you want to contact Joe at his website, it's www.mapministry.org. He is from Mission to Amish People. If you want to call him on the phone, it's 419-962-1515. Joe, how can somebody listening to this interview right now, how can they help your ministry?
There's a couple different ways. Obviously, one of the first desires we have is to gain prayer warriors that will pray for us, pray for the Amish people. And if you go online to our website, you can actually sign up for the Prayer for Seven Forever. And literally what that is you put in your name and you hit the go button. I don't know how it works, but you get seven names of Amish people. And you just adopt those seven names and pray for them. For their salvation. And then number three, we are a ministry that is nonprofit, and we only survive with donations. We have about 35 churches that support us on a regular basis and probably 70 to 80 individuals. And we are actually trying to raise about another $20,000 for next year because we have to add a third person to our staff.
So what if somebody wants you to come and speak at their church? What should they do?
First thing is probably just to call us. And we have a packet of information that we can send out. It describes the ministry, what we believe, and what our goals are. We either do missions conferences or we do regular church services, special groups. We do whatever we can to help churches on the outside become aware of the need, and we would be very happy to schedule meetings.
Do you go all over the country, or you stay kind of regional?
We go wherever we are asked to come to, and we do it on a love offering basis. We have been in, I don't know how many different states, but quite a few different states out west. There's a lot of Amish out through Missouri, Iowa, and then, of course, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and we just go wherever we're asked to come to.
Do you have any resources online or in your ministry that would be available to equip church people to reach out to Amish people?
We have some resources. We have some Bible study material that we put together with attractive covers that, you know, if you gave it to an Amish person, it would attract their attention. And we have one little booklet that has been very popular. It's called My Amish Vows, Are They Binding? And another man from Canada and myself wrote the booklet, and it's very powerful. They're like 30 cents a piece. We give them out either by the hundreds, or if you want one of them, we can do that too. We also have a tape ministry, but if you go online, you will be able to see some of the things that we have.
Okay, again, that web address is mapministry.org, mapministry.org. If you're interested in a CD of this three-part interview on the Amish religion, you can contact me. My email is help@tower2truth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525, 610-513-5525. My website, again, is tower2truth.net, and you can find past radio shows archived on MP3 form ready to listen to online or download. You can find info on Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, Oneness Pentecostals, Islam, and more. And don't forget to tune in next week for part one of Jehovah's Witnesses, a nonprofit organization. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.